المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون صدق الله العظيم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, say, it is true that the death from which you are running is going to catch up with you. And then you will be sent back to the one who knows what is seen and what is unseen, who will tell you what you used to do. This is one of those qul verses, and hence it is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who is being told to tell people this simple but terrifying fact. The people of Quraysh, the people of Arabia at that time, had no particular belief in the Akhirah. They believed in various gods of clay and wood and stone who benefited them in this world, but were of no relevance to the very misty, unclear idea that they had of the life to come. Part of the revolution brought by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to a people, ma undira aba'uhum, whose ancestors had not been warned, so they were in a state of complete heedlessness, was that he took them from that state of having no interest in life after death into a new state, a better state, of being interested in nothing else. The Jannah and the Nar, those two great realities, those places, those universes where Allah's names of beauty and his names of anger are fully present, those places for which we work in our life in this world, those are realities awaiting every human soul. The death from which we flee, why do we flee it? Because we like the dunya. We like our little lives of moving from one pleasure to the next, of having hopes, of having aspirations, ambitions. We like the idea of being pointed at enviously by our brothers and sisters. We like that atmosphere as though we were Qarun. Ya layta lana mithla ma utiya Qarun. When Qarun, the tyrant of ancient Egypt, went out, fi zinatihi, in his splendor, people would point to him and say, if only we were given that which Qarun had been given, innahu ladhu hazzin azim, truly he is very fortunate. We are all a little bit like that. We like people to envy us. We like to encourage this ugly quality of hasad in other human people. Part of our pride is bound up with other people's envy of what Allah has given us. But this verse cuts through all of that like a sword. We run away from death because we want a few more years or a few more weeks or days in which to acquire, to gain things for which other people can envy us. But innahu mulaqikum, it will come to you. There are uncertainties in this life. Most of the things in this life are uncertain, but the thing that is certain is death. U'bud rabbaka hatta yatiyaka al-yaqeen. Worship your Lord until the certain comes to you. One of the meanings of this is death. Death is certain, more certain even than taxes. Now, this terrible thing is not, for the believer, a terrible thing. You'll be sent back to the one who knows the seen and the unseen things. In other words, the world, the envious world, sees your outward display, your splendid clothes and your cars and your house and all the things that you spend your life acquiring, and it envies you. But the unseen things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all of them. All of our bad habits, all of our bad thoughts, all of our insincerity, all of the things we do that are not purely for the sake of Allah but are tainted by something that is ugly and impure, all of those residues in our soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all of those. He sees our secret habits. He sees the things that we do when nobody else is looking. When we think it's a ghaib, nobody is noticing us, the curtains are drawn and nobody is aware of what we're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muttali'un alayk. He is the one who sees, scrutinizes everything that you do. And one day, he and the world will see what you used to do. You won't run away from death, but it's going to come to us. And when it comes to us, all of our secrets will be exposed. This ayah is given in the city of Medina Munawwara in connection with the opposition to the Holy Prophet and to his message by sections of the people of Medina, including the Munafiqeen and including the Yahud and others, who were the ones who were running away from death, the ones who wanted to live 1,000 years, those who wished to go on forever so that they could acquire more of dunya and be more praised and be more secure and be more envied. That was what they wanted. So he tells you, if you are the ones who are most precious to Allah, فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ, hope for death. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you're true, you should hope for death, because if you're the ones who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will love to meet your Lord. وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, but they will not hope for it ever because of what their hands have acquired, what their hands have gained. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ, Allah is the one who knows the state of the unjust, those who are living in a state of darkness within. Why? Because he is the alim al-ghayb wa shahada, the one who knows the unseen and the seen. And he certainly knows the inward state of those people who are opposing the message of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are opposing the jihad, who are opposing the new Islamic political reality, who are opposing this new community that is to be lillahi azza wa jal wahdahu la sharika lahu, for the sake of Allah, who has no partner, the one who is glorious and majestic. These are the enemies of truth, the enemies of Allah himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ, he knows what is in their hearts and what is in their public discussions. But they don't remember this. And so they really don't want to be told that they are going back to one who will expose their faults and they will be scandalized. They don't want to be told this. So this is the message that we have to adhere to, that death is a reality, and we all run away from it, and we don't want to think about it. But this is a state of weakness in our souls. Why? Because there can be a kind of life, a way of being human, in which we are genuinely not afraid of the end of our lives. It seems hard to imagine. The musibat al-maut, the catastrophe of death, what is worse? Usually in societies there is imprisonment and there are fines, and the worst thing they can do to you is the death penalty. That's the thing that is supposed to intimidate them, that is the greatest deterrent, death itself. So how could anybody live not being afraid of and terrorized by death itself? In a hadith in Sahih Muslim we read, "Tuhfatul mu'min al-maut." For the believer, the precious gift is death. That frightens us and amazes us and sounds very strange to us. It's against our culture, because that's the thing we least want. What kind of gift could be more unpleasant to us than dying? Suddenly taken from this dunya, away from all of our pleasures, where nobody is envying us ever again. How could we bear that? How could it be a tohfa, a precious gift? It says, tohfatul mu'min. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are one of those people who are la khawfun alayhim wa ta'ala. There is no fear upon them, neither shall they grieve. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to take their lives, they are happy with that. It is his decree, and he is the just, and he is the merciful. If he chooses to give them a few more years in this dunya, That is his decree, and we are grateful also. It is an opportunity to repent, to make tawbah, to make amends, to live a more beautiful life, to acquire more amal salih, good acts, with which we can hope to meet our Lord. Both of those conditions, the mu'min, the believer, is happy, because he knows that what his Lord determines is always the best thing. Allah is ahkam al-hakimin, the wisest of judges. And who could object to the judgment of the wisest of judges? But what we need to do is to plan. The believer is the one who is constantly thinking of that reality of death. The believer is the one who remembers death because he sees it in others and doesn't think that's something that could never happen to me. I'm so happy, so lucky that it wasn't me who died in that car accident, or in that earthquake, or in that epidemic of swine flu, or whatever it was. It wasn't me, alhamdulillah. He blocks it out. He doesn't want to think about it. But Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, used to say, As-sa'idu man itta'aza bighayrin. The truly happy person is the one who is warned by others. Not by listening to some khutbah or other, but by seeing what happens to others and changing his life accordingly. He is the one who looks at what happens when people start to drink, and then they drink a lot, and then they end up on the streets, and then they die. And he realizes that he'd better obey the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he can see what are the consequences of disobeying the Lord of the world. He is the one who sees what happens when one is in a marriage and one maltreats one's spouse, or neglects one's children, or is generally not a proper parent. He can see the consequences of that, and he wants to avoid those consequences. So he has this tadbir, this ability to see the disasters that happen in other people's lives and to use that in order to help himself and to put himself right. And death is the thing that should be doing that to us more than anything else. But it's also a scary thing. It's a terrifying thing. And we see it with others all the time. Death is all around us. In the city of Cambridge, there are people in the graves. There are graveyards everywhere. Most of the people who are in the city of Cambridge are actually dead people. The city has been around for so many hundreds of years. So many people are buried here in graveyards and not in graveyards. And the reality is that we, the living, the Ahya, are only a small proportion of the total inhabitants of the city of Cambridge. And so it will go on, because this yaqeen will come to us as well. We need to think about that and prepare for the time when we are under the ground and can no longer do anything for ourselves. We need to use this sarmaya, this capital that we have, whose extent only Allah knows. A few remaining hours, perhaps. A few remaining days. Perhaps another 50 years. That is in Allah's decree, and we can do little or nothing about it. But in this time, we need to start thinking intelligently. We need to look at the relative who suddenly died in a car crash. We need to look at somebody who died in an epidemic. Somebody whose heart unexpectedly stopped. This happens all the time, and it happens in our lives, and we know people that it has happened to. It could be us this afternoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that knowledge. That is part of his ilm. So we need to prepare. And another hadith, which is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-mawt. The intelligent person is the one who looks at himself and judges himself and acts for what comes after death. That's the kayyis, the smart guy, the intelligent person, the one who's really being smart with his life. It's the one who's thinking about eternity, which is a lot longer than the few decades that we might possibly have in this world. Smart one is the one who thinks, I'd better prepare for what follows death. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى أَلَّهَا. And the failure, the useless person, is the one who lets his ego, his nafs, follow whatever it wants to do and just hopes for Allah's forgiveness. That's the ajiz, that's the loser. And we're all like that to some extent. To a greater or a lesser extent, we have this habit. Oh, I was lazy about the prayer. I wasn't quite sure about whether this is halal or not, but I ate it anywhere. I may have been committing backbiting. I'm not quite sure that I paid all of the tax that I should have paid. But Allah is Ghafoor and Rahim. Allah is merciful and compassionate and will forgive me. Usually when we get into bad habits, we do so by saying the very true and good thing that Allah is forgiving and merciful. But he is also Al-Muntaqim, Al-Jabbar, Al-Aziz, Al-Adl. He is these scary things as well. He is the avenger. He is the rigorous. He can be angry with his servants. He is the judge.
the justice of the judges, and we all know what we actually deserve, because the few good things that we really do that are sincere, and the many things we do that are just absent-minded or insincere or for worldly purposes, we're not in a good situation. So the failure, the loser, is the one who just allows his nafs, his ego, his pleasures to do what they feel like doing, and just hopes, tamanni, hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. Allah is Ghafoor and Rahim. It's true. He is forgiving and he is merciful. But he can also decide to apply his justice. And you don't really want to take any risks with eternity. Even if eternity for you is a kind of strange story, you don't want to take any risks with that. You really don't, because it's not smart. What is the proportion of the few years we live in this world to the immense amounts of time that comes about after our death? What is the proportion? That is why the Holy Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is speaking about intelligence. If you're smart, you're going to be thinking about your life, putting your life right, looking at what's going wrong in other people's lives, including the disaster of death itself, and improving your life, acting for the reality of eternity. In other words, living for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living for others, and doing this, how? As Muslims, by following the sunnah of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not a theory, this is something that has a practical solution. We can follow our own egos and what we would like to do, or we can follow the way of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following his sunnah, which is the most beautiful of ways. We can have lives that are shaped by the sunnah, business ethics that are shaped by the sunnah, traditions of giving and being charitable and having a good family life that are shaped by the sunnah, an understanding of the injustices in the world that is shaped by the sunnah, a way of dealing with money, with our own interest in this world, that is shaped by the sunnah of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Allah's mercy, he has sent the one who is rahmatan lil alameen, mercy to the world. And what mercy is greater than that he has shown us how to live, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What a terrible mess we make when we do things with a bad intention, or for our own egos, or for our own naps. What ugliness we create inside ourselves, or in the lives of others, and in the world. All of the disasters in this world are caused by naps, by shaitan, by hawa, people following their own ego, their pleasures, their desire to be envied. The beautiful things that happen in the world when people are in control of themselves and are acting ultimately for a higher cause, for eternity. In the case of the believer, we do this by following the sunnah of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his style of life is the most beautiful style of life. Nobody lived as did the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through that, Allah gave his permission to turn a people who were a base people, a people sunk in idolatry and foolishness and ugly practices, and turned them into the best community ever brought out for mankind, and gave them the permission to march through the gates of Byzantium and Persia and Egypt and those other places. The most extraordinary event in history came about. Why? Because those people were not interested in dunya. The world was open to them. Why? Because they didn't care for it. They cared only for the akhirah. And so this extraordinary miracle of the rise of Islam took place. And something like that can happen again. But only if we have the key to that lock. And the key to that lock is putting things in proportion, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing things for his sake, following the sunnah of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remembering that everything in our bank account and in our houses and the things we can touch will pass away and will be forgotten. Our very names will pass away and be forgotten, but our immortal souls go on. If that is what motivates us, if that is what gives us priority in our lives, then with the idhn, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again the gates of the world can be open to us. But that is the only way in which it can be achieved. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore the greatness to this ummah which was caused by the early generations, by their lack of interest in the passing things of this dunya, and to make us people who constantly, in a healthy and Islamic way, remember that their lives will come to an end, so that in this world they can live rich and meaningful lives that are a gift to creation and a gift to other people. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين
محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم محدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا، وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.